Your kidneys work for you every minute of every day, quietly filtering your blood, balancing your body, keeping you alive. Most of us never think about them until something goes wrong. This March is Kidney Health Month in Canada, a time to meet your mighty kidneys and take them seriously. Millions are living with kidney disease, often without symptoms, but simple steps like testing, awareness, and healthy choices can protect your kidney health and your future. Learn the signs, know your risk, and take action today. Visit uhn.ca to learn more. Your kidneys are mighty. Take care of them. Welcome to the Living Transplant Podcast, where we take you behind the scenes at the Ajmera Transplant Center at Toronto General Hospital, Canada's largest and most comprehensive transplant program, performing over 700 transplants annually. I'm your host, Candace. Each episode, we share the powerful stories from transplant recipients and living donors, along with insights and education from leading medical professionals. For this special bonus episode, we're joined by Dr. Irene Kim, who visited us at the UHN Ajmera Transplant Center for a special focus on International Women's Day. Dr. Kim is an abdominal transplant surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, the Esther and Mark Schulman's Endowed Chair in Transplant Medicine, Director of the Transplant Center, and Surgical Director of Liver Transplant. But beyond these titles, Dr. Kim is also a mentor, a leader, and a mother, roles that constantly shape and challenge one another. In this conversation, she reflects on the mentors who shaped her path, the reality of balancing leadership and motherhood and transplant surgery, and the powerful reminder that sometimes in life, having enough is the greatest success of all. To all of the women caring for families, leading teams, mentoring others, saving lives, and quietly holding entire communities together, we see you. Happy International Women's Day. Please enjoy. Today we're talking about International Women's Day, and it is a true pleasure to get to speak with you about all that you do and all that you are. And when we look at who you are today, reflecting the woman who you're sitting, you know, today in the chair as a surgeon, a mentor, a mother, and a leader, which role do you think has really stretched your heart the most?
Oh, that's such a great question. Well, I think absolutely the leadership part of my career has been really rewarding. But I think what is the most humbling and brings everyone to their knees is being a mom. And I always joke, gosh, doing a hepatic artery anastomosis is 1,000 times easier than parenting my two kids. Because, you know, the challenges they present every day and the joys, it is just so rife with emotion. And it's a wonderful, fun journey and also very humbling. So I would say definitely the leadership part, but what everyone in life, I hope, experiences, and that's the parenting part.
Yeah, amazing. And, you know, that's so funny for us to hear that, you know, in the place that you're at, and yet, you know, juggling children is still one of the most unexpected roles that we can have in our life, right?
Isn't it, though?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
100%.
And people laugh at me all the time, too, because they're like, well, you've got this transplant. Like, isn't that the more, you know, thing that you fear more and work on more? I'm like, no, you know, that's pretty consistent. Every day with a child waking up is different, right?
100%.
Yeah, but absolute joy. And I'm wondering if you can take us to a moment when, you know, we talk a lot as women about all of the pulls that we have in life, all of the roles that we have. And, you know, being a physician and leader, pulling you in different directions as a mother as well. What has that really taught you about, you know, I dislike the word balance, but I guess really like,
totally,
how do we manage all of these roles as women in our lives?
So the first thing I want to acknowledge is that I have a lot of help at home. My parents live with me, and amazing. I'm extremely lucky because they retired right around the time that I had my first child. They moved in to help us. I want to acknowledge my husband, who, you know, it's not easy living with your in-laws. They're all wonderful people, but of course, inevitably, frictions occur, and everyone has a lot of grace with each other. So my family life is really lucky, And then I also have a live-in nanny. So I have a whole team. And the reason why I have that whole team is because you're right, transplant surgery is quite demanding. And if I have a patient, if I'm on call, that it has to take priority. Mm-hmm. I can't not complete a case. I can't not see a patient through safely. So what I joke, when I'm on call, my whole family is on call, mm-hmm. and they're incredibly understanding, that, you know, I might have to leave in the middle of the night and do a case. I might have to go in for a take back emergency operation, whatever it is. Everybody is very nimble to, mm-hmm. to kind of help pitch in. So I can't say that I have had a lot of balance. I think I'm just really lucky that I've set up this team and have had this team help support me in both ways.
Beautiful. That's amazing. I'm very lucky that way too. My parents are remarkable, and we lived with my parents for a couple of years when I was on dialysis, and same thing, you know, having an incredible, gracious husband that was willing to do that as well, right? It's you feel so grateful and so lucky to have that team of people around you, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Success is not an independent thing. It's definitely all the ones who you love who help pitch in and move it forward for you. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. And when we think about that team, and those people who are part of that, you know, thinking about that mentorship and that leadership through your life, have there been mentors through your journey that have either done something for you or, you know, encouraged you in ways that would really, you know, somebody listening that could use that advice or that expertise that they've helped you through your journey?
Oh, absolutely. I think every walk of life, every stage in my life, I've had someone I've looked up to, even now, like that never ends. Mm-hmm. The people who influenced me to go into transplantation first was in my residency, Rich Freeman and Rick Rohr. Mm-hmm. I credit them all the time for first inspiring me to become a transplant surgeon. They embodied what I wanted to be as a doctor, really hardworking, really humble, no nonsense, always there for the patient. And then Carlos Esquivel was my mentor in fellowship, and the same extension, the same themes as my residency mentors. But again, that dedication and also happiness and joy in what they did.
Beautiful.
Like they genuinely enjoyed being transplant surgeons. And so that was quite inspiring to me. When I became an attending, I talked about it in my grand rounds this morning, but Andy Klein and Bruce Gewirtz and Stan Jordan. And you may observe that all of these mentors happen to be male. Mm-hmm. And so I think as a woman in leadership and in transplantation, people naturally come to me and they say, you know, could you be a mentor to other women? And I'm happy to be, and I am. But I also say, you know, also look to the men too. Your mm-hmm. mentorship doesn't have to be gendered because you are looking for inspiration wherever. So I think that's really important. I myself am so grateful for all the mentors that I have. And then, of course, my mom is a huge mentor. I am in my late 40s, and she calls me out on things that I don't do well. And she's like, you can't go out with your friends tonight because you haven't seen the kids all week. And I'll be like, you know what? You're right, Mom. I'm going to cancel dinner with the girls, you know. And I think having someone who will call you out and having that person overseeing you to some extent and getting advice from is really important. Mm. I don't know if your mom ever calls you out.
All the time.
It's great. It's actually very honest.
It is.
To have someone in it like that in your life.
Yes. And that, you know, journey of then becoming a mom yourself and like recognizing all of the things that your mom did for you that like went unnoticed or like unthanked, and now being a mother ourselves, like all of all of that they did and their hearts that they put on the line. And of course, all the times that we weren't as pleasant as we should have been to these incredible women in our lives.
I thank my mom every day. Like, thank you for putting up with me. Now that I'm going through it with my daughter and my son, I'm like, oh my gosh, completely new appreciation.
Yes. Yeah. You never quite, you know, recognize how much your mom does until you're put into that pathway of being a mother yourself, right? And thinking, how did you do all of this? It's amazing. Yeah.
It's so true.
Now, I mean, when we talk about motherhood, hopefully our day-to-days are not impacted by life and death situations, just a lot more smaller. But when you're a surgeon, you are facing life and death every day with your patients. And I'm wondering if, you know, the paths that you've taken throughout life have prepared you for those really difficult, you know, instances that you're going through. These are not just easy, you know, conversations or easy procedures that these people are going through. You're truly giving them their lives back when they've been transplanted.
Yeah. So recently, my husband got sick, and he's always been healthy as a horse, and it kind of came out of nowhere. It was such a great experience in one sense. It was horrible. It was a horrifying experience, but yeah, it was also a great experience because it just to be humbled and to be placed in that situation where you are the patient, you mm-hmm. are the patient's family. It was so sobering, and I just realized how grateful I was for the clarity and description of what's going on by various consultants, various physicians who were tending to us. And, you know, you mentioned like the complexity, the ups and downs. I think having that, just having that experience on the flip side mm-hmm. is so helpful. And it's not that I feel like every doctor should have that experience. You
right.
know, you don't want people in your family to get sick. You don't want to be
yes.
sick yourself.
Right.
But how eye-opening it was, and mm-hmm. how grateful I became to the people who were helping us. So I'm thinking about that right now a lot, just because we've been through this health scare.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, getting older, I think also you're more exposed to those experiences, whether it's dealing with aging parents
mm-hmm.
or the health of your own kids or whatever it is. So that is to say, we're all human mm-hmm. beings, and we're going through these events. So I'm so grateful to be where I am, to be a physician, to help people through some pivotal moments in their lives going through a transplant.
Mm-hmm.
I bring it back to that relationship, that personal bond.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And this might be, you know, a really difficult question to ask. I'm going to end with this, but years from now, when you're thinking of, you know, your path as a mother, as a mentor, as a surgeon, what do you want your patients, your children, the community as a whole to look back on and remember you for?
I mean, my greatest legacy will definitely be my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, I think, many people can relate to that. My professional legacy, I have an appreciation that I am one part of the history of where I currently am at Cedars-Sinai, and there will be other people to follow. I hope that I help build a foundation to keep it successful and keep it treating patients well and with dignity and with good outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I need anything grander than that in my life. I'm kind of a glasses half full kind of person. So I think if my kids end up happy mm-hmm. in their lives and the transplant program continues to do well, I think I will be with a smile on my face in heaven.
Amazing. That's beautiful. And actually, I'll ask you one last question before we head out. For people listening, whether it's women or our community as a whole, what do you want those people who are striving for more, who are maybe exhausted moms or ambitious trainees, to really hear from somebody who's at the place that you're at now in your life?
I'm going to go to a quote that struck me. A friend was sharing this with me. So J.D. Salinger wrote The Catcher in the Rye, which was this amazing novel in American history, really influential at the time, the original influencer. And then he kind of went off into the woods in upstate New York, and he disappeared from public life. And a reporter asked Salinger, like, you could have been anything. You could have written more books. Mm-hmm. You could have had an amazing career. And he said, because I have something that most people don't have. And the reporter asked, what is that? To which he responded, I have enough.
Beautiful.
I have enough. I have enough in my life. I have a very wonderful family. I have a wonderful career. And I think that people need to be gracious with themselves and realize that if they have some basic things, it should be enough.
Incredible. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today on our podcast. We're so grateful to get to squeeze you in.
Thank you for having me.
All of your insights. We're really grateful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kim.
You're an amazing role model too.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Living Transplant Podcast. If you did, please rate, leave us a review, and share with your friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Living Transplant wherever you're listening today. If you have any ideas for podcast episodes, please reach out to us at livingorgandonation@uhn.ca. For information about living organ donation, you can visit us at www.livingorgandonation.ca. Special thanks to Bespoke Productions for editing this episode and for production support. I'm your host, Candace Coughlin. Thanks for spending your time with us.